Well, listen, we're coming to almost the end of our churches and revelations, and you need to hopefully have either listened to it on the internet or taken some notice, because the 8th church of Revelations is an Internet and Pentecostal church. But the 8th church of Revelations can't be unless you people have listened to the 7, so you know how to judge the 8th church of Revelations, which is ourselves. And there is a box going to be put on the platform, the back of the hall, a couple of weeks before we're due to do the 8th church of Revelations, where you can actually put something in there, and we will share that on that morning. I hope our commitment to this church runs together. You see, this is a true story of George Phillips. He was going to bed when his wife told him that the light in the shed was on. So George opened the door to turn the light off. But as he's about to turn it off, he noticed in the shed people, and they were in the process of stealing things. So he immediately rang the police. He said, the officer, no, can we help you? He said, yes. He said, someone is some stealing things. He said, where, in your house? No, he said, it's in the garage next door. Policeman said, I'm sorry, but all our patrols are very busy, and we simply cannot spare the time. Lock the door, and I'm sure you'll be okay. So George said, okay, he hung up, and he counted to 30, and he phoned again. He said, hello, I've just rang you a few seconds ago, he said, because there's people in my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about them now, because I've just shot them all. And he hung up. Within 5 minutes, the squad cars arrived. Armed response unit, an ambulance showed up. And of course, the police caught the burglars red-handed. And one of the policemen said to George, I thought you said you'd shot them. George said, yes, I thought you said there was nobody available. Well, the message is quite simple, wasn't it? Both wanted something doing. They had no time, they said, to come out to arrest these burglars. It's a true story. So he rang up and said he'd shot them. And there was an immediate response. The SWAT there, and everybody was there. And he said, I thought you said you'd shot them. And he said, yes, and I thought you said you weren't available. Funny, but true and interesting. It all depends what we have in life's priorities, isn't it? I wonder what your life's priority is this morning. I wonder. Someone said to you, what do you think life is about? I wonder what your top 3 items would be. Sit and think about it while we do this morning. Someone said, prioritize your life. Someone said to you, what do you think life is like? Would you say a carousel? Up and down, going round? Like a stack of cards? You've just got to get on with the cards you've been dealt with? How? How do you think life is? What is the purpose and plan for your life? We're going to look at a church in chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, these things says he who holds the 7 stars and the 7 spirits of God. I know your works, those that have a name. You say you are alive, but you're dead. And back to that little joke this morning. They thought, I'm not available. So he took action, and suddenly they were available. Here were the people who thought they were alive, but God said, you're dead. I'm asking, they thought their purpose, I don't know what they thought their purpose in life was. I don't know whether what they thought life was all about, but they certainly were not on the same wavelength as God. Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found you or your works perfect. Remember, therefore, how you received and how you heard. Hold fast and repent. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will know not what hour I come unto you. You have a few names, though, in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they should walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God will add to his words. Could you fetch my black book and put underneath there, please? I want to tell you something this morning. To these seven churches, God had something to say, because what they thought was completely different to what God thought. To the church in Ephesus, he said, you've lost love. Love has completely gone out of your church. To the church next, the church, which was, of course, Cyrene, he said, listen, you're a persecuted church. I just want to encourage you, hold fast that your life, if they take your life today, you'll be with me in eternity. Hold fast. It was a persecuted church. To the church in Pergamum, it was a compromised church. It allowed anything to go. Oh, let's get the numbers into the church. It don't matter how we get them in. And once you come in, yeah, you can do this stuff and you can do that stuff. It was a church where they would compromise. And they did it in the church with Constantine. Then we left the church next. It was a church that allowed idolatry and immorality to come into the church. Today, we're looking at a church that God said is a dead church. I hope God doesn't think this is a dead church. And I don't mean he listens to the noise from the drums. Well, sorry, not noise, it's music. Sorry, I'll repeat that, Simon. The music from the drums. It's not how long you bang the cymbals. I don't know. Are we a loveless church? Are we a church that if we go through persecution, we'll hold fast? Are we a church that will do anything to get people in and will compromise our faith just so that we have people here? Are we a church who will say that, yeah, it is okay to sleep around and do stuff like this and still be here? Now, I'm asking these questions because these questions are all relevant in our society in which we live in today. Or is God going to say, I'm sorry, but you're just a dead church? You think you're alive. You're having great times. You think you're alive, but in actual fact, in my opinion, which is the only one that counts, you're dead. I hope not. That's what it looks like today. It's an ancient town where the process of minting coins was developed. It was almost an impregnable city. It stood on a great mountain. It had a history of over 2,000 years, this city. It was 27 miles due south of Thyatira, and it was a wealthy seat of the Lydian government. And this city was situated in Asia Minor, modern Turkey. It withstood many battles, and it had been colonized by the Greeks. But the city was destroyed by an earthquake during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, AD 17. And Tiberius Caesar rebuilt it for them, and their gratitude to him was such of a gratitude that they worshipped him. This city gave up, and they publicly worshipped this Roman emperor because he built their city. But I want you to know, and I've told you this all the way through, how God reflects to his church things that they will understand by what was actually going on in their day. And in this church, it's exactly the same. Because twice in this history, this city, which was an impregnable city, it fell because they fell asleep, the gods. And what has Jesus got to say to this city? Wake up. This is what he says. Wake up. Be watchful. Strengthen. Because I'm coming in an hour that you do not know. Wake up. Because twice this city fell. They thought they were impregnable. They thought they could not be defeated. And so they took their eye off the ball. And twice that city fell because the watchmen on the tower failed to do their duty. I want to tell you something. We have to be watchful in this city here that we are being possessed. This is our land. This is, I believe, where God wants us. But we need to be watchful. God says in Ezekiel, I looked for a watchman on the tower, and because I found no one, the city was destroyed. You and I, brothers and sisters, are the watchtower for the neighborhood in which we're around. We are the answer to the neighborhood in which we're around. That's why we need to be praying and praying. Let me tell you what he says in Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, to the people of Israel, settle down, settle down. I put you in this city, settle down, pray for this city, pray for its prosperity. And then he goes on to say, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He doesn't say, I know the plans that I have for you, without first of all reading the verse before. And some of us need to read the verse before, the verses before. And God said, listen, I put you in Tyburn, Eddie, 1107 Tyburn. You need to settle down. It doesn't matter whether you want to be here, whether you don't want to be here. I told you to come, settle down and pray for the prosperity of this place and the neighborhood in which you're around in. That is what we are supposed to do. And he says, I know the plans and purposes that I have for you. And as long as I'm, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. The reason why some of us cannot be entrusted with things is because the things we've been entrusted with, we're not using for the glory of the kingdom of God. We ought to pray for this place. Because I believe we can change it. We had 30 teenagers out here on Friday night. Yes, they destroyed a few things. Thank you. They did destroy a few things. Yes, they were smoking. Yes, you could smell alcohol in the breath. Yes, some of their language was blue. But there were 30 people who need to know the love of God. They didn't come in a shirt and tie. They came as rough as they were rough as they were rough. And some of the girls can speak as blue as well. But God came that he might bring every one of those 30 people into his kingdom. I want to bless Ian because Ian gave up his time to put a table tennis board on. We probably spent most of the evening. In fact, Ian was sweating. Yes, you may think that's impossible. But that was happening. There was sweat running from his brow. And the actual table tennis board actually falls. The miracle happened. It actually worked. He built something up and it worked. He was absolutely amazed. There was a woman came from St. Mary's Church. Very small woman. I want to say this. She came. She says, Nigel Traynor can't come. I'm going to take his place tonight. What would you like me to do, Pastor? And I said, could you go in the kitchen? We've got a problem with a barbecue at the moment. And Simon had given us the sausages. Simon had given some sausages. And she went in there. And the fluorescent light wouldn't work. And so it was just, you know, when these lights flash, like disco lights, when a fluorescent light is going wrong, it's flashing and flashing. Well, this woman had to put up with that in the darkness with flashing lights. And she cooked and she cooked and she cooked and she washed the stuff in that oven that God's kingdom might be extended in 30 teenagers. Wake up, says God. Wake up. You think you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Get on with what I told you to get on with. And that's pray for the prosperity and the peace of this neighborhood. Because if this place is prosperous, if Birmingham is prosperous, and people have money, and people are able to spend, and people are able to have not only prosperity in health and in wealth, but also in the spiritual realms of things, you will prosper too. We're going into recession, but I believe we can pray out of the recession. I believe our city can be prosperous if we have a heart to be alert and to be alert and to pray. That's why Tuesday night is so important. I wasn't meant to say those things, but we've said them. That's how this place was. A place who thought it could not be conquered. Therefore they fell asleep. Friends, if you compromise or you get complacent, we will die. we must be alert. We must be alert. So what does Christ say? Well, Christ says, I'll tell you who's speaking to you. Me who has the seven spirits. What are these seven spirits? Well, you'll find them in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He shall have the spirit of wisdom. He shall have the spirit of understanding. He shall have the spirit of counsel. He shall have the spirit of might. He shall have the spirit of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord shall be upon him. God is saying, listen, this is who I am. You think you're alive, you're dead. Listen to who's talking to you. I am the one who has all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the attributes of the Godhead. That's who God is speaking. That's the God we serve. He is the sevenfold spirit of wisdom that is spoken of in the book of Isaiah. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. I want to tell you, Christ is seen here as someone who has all the attributes that they will ever need to get the kingdom of God done. Isn't it great to know that God's still alive today with all the attributes we need to make this place a success? He's got all the wisdom we need. He's got all the understanding we need. He's got all the finance we need. He's got everything we need. He's all we need, we keep singing. But I wonder if we realize it. He is all we need. He, the sevenfold spirits of God, Jesus, in Isaiah chapter 11. I want to tell you something. Paul speaks of the unity of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4 verse 3. John used to speak about the deity and the diversity of his attributes and his power. Oh, I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit this morning. We need the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us this morning. Who needs the spirit of wisdom? Who needs the spirit of understanding? Who needs his awesome power in our lives today? Who needs the spirit of discernment in our lives today? Who needs the Spirit that will break the yoke that is on us at the moment? Who will break the spirit of darkness in this place? I believe He's the answer to break the darkness amongst us. Oh, how we need the symbolic Holy Spirit this morning. And I want to tell you something. The sad thing about this church is God had nothing good to say. He doesn't even give one list of anything decent to say. Oh, friend, is that what you're going to write in that letter, in that box that morning when we do the 8th Church of Revelations? Do you think he'll have anything good to say about us? I'm being honest. You see, James says, what's the point of looking in the mirror at your face and then walking away and not remembering what you look like? Friends, I tell you something. We need to examine ourselves regularly. So that we're always in tune, that we're always in step with God. Complacency is an easy thing to step into, but very hard to get out of. It's not that God's word is difficult this morning. It's not that God is a God this morning who's heavy upon us. That's not the reason he wrote these letters. He wrote these letters because he wanted his church to be a thriving church. Don't you know that God is for us and not against us? Don't you know God wants to bless you beyond all blessings? But we're only when we walk in the will of the Lord. That's why I asked you this morning, what's the purpose of your life? What do you think life is all about? Do you exist to go to work, come home? What do you think life is all about? Seriously, what is life? Is it a drudgery of getting through the first 24 hours, then the next 24 hours, then the next 24 hours? What is life all about? Because Jesus says to me, there are pleasures forevermore at my right hand. Jesus says to me, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has for those that love him. Why would he say these things? Why would he say, blessed are those who know their Savior. Blessed. You see, there were three fathers in a hospital waiting room. And they were waiting for the blessed day that their baby would be born. And the first person came out and said, is there a John here? And he said, yes. She says, congratulations. You have twins. He says, great. He says, I'm the manager of the twin factory down the road. The Minnesota Twins. He says, that's great. Second nurse came out and says to the second father, "Is there a Ralph here?" And he said, "Yes." He says, "Congratulations, you've got triplets." He says, "Well, that's cool. I work for 3M. And then the third father jumps out the window. The nurse came and says, "Could anybody tell me where Alfred is?" And one of the fathers said, "He's jumped out the window." "Well, why would he do that?" She says, "Because he works for 7-Up. God wants to bless you, but only when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He will abide with us still. Friends, God will chastise us if we step out of line. And how you respond to that chastisement is the answer to my first question on life. Because I'm going to tell you, God will put one word into your life time and time again. The word is test. God is going to test you time and time and time and time again for the response on how you respond to Him. He did it to Abraham. He did it to Joseph. He did it to David. He did it to His own son, Jesus. God will put you through a series of tests in your life to see what character you are built on. Test and trials are the two things. James said, rejoice. Not if you have trials. He said, rejoice when you have trials. He didn't say, if you have trials, because trials are inevitable. They will come. But so he says, rejoice when you... And those are the two things that answers life's question, by the way, for you. What is your life all about? What's the purpose of your life? Test and trial. And God is seeking a people that He can bring through into character. So when you're tested, it's not because He doesn't like you. He wants to build your character. When you go through trials, God wants you to know His presence and to be there with you through the whole of their trials. Because like Job, when you come out, He said you'll be refined as gold. But God wants to bless you. Not with 7 children, hopefully, but He wants to bless you. But He cannot do it. They were living a lie. Friends, I want to ask you, are you living a lie this morning? You can live an hypocrisy this morning. You can deceive everybody in this room this morning, apart from God. You can deceive your wife, there's no problem, you can do it. And you can deceive your husband. You can deceive your boss, you can deceive everybody around you. You can live a lie. This church lived a lie. Because they said they were alive and God said they were. So it was a lie, wasn't it? I'm asking you, are you living a lie this morning? I think, seriousness, we need to settle down and ask ourselves, do we live a lie this morning? Do we live on what the Bible says? Or are we particularly interested in living what we want out of life? Because I'm telling you, that's not the purpose for your life. The purpose for your life is not what you want out of life, but what God wants out of your life. And until we get that firmly fixed, we can go nowhere. And in order for that to happen, God brings tests and trials. That's why you get tests and trials, because all of us have got plans for our lives, and some of us need to reflect, what is that God's plan for my life? Because life is about the purpose of God in me. I was designed for Him. He was never designed for me. I just have a unique relationship with Him. Because first of all, I was designed to worship Him and to please Him. But you can live a lie. Definitely live a lie. This is what He says in verse 2. I've not found your works complete. I'm asking you, He will say that to us. Because I don't believe our works are complete. I believe that's something we're going to work on until we get to heaven. I'm not too worried about that. I know there's lots of works that have got to be completed here. That's not a problem. What would be a problem to me is if we were living a lie. That would be a problem. But I know as long as I'm on this planet Earth, my works will never be complete. So, be alert. That's all He says. Be alert. You see, the only way you could get into this city in the olden days was through one entrance. And they thought they were impregnable. One entrance, that's the only way you could get into Sardis. So they all fell asleep. And they were conquered twice. God doesn't want that to happen to us, friends. He loves us too much. So he says, be alert. For instance, who can tell me when the Lord's going to come back? Nobody? Nobody. And yet, do we live our lives like that? Do you live your life, and I don't mean drudgery, and I don't mean being unworried, but do you draw the curtains on the morning thinking this could be my last day on planet Earth because Jesus might come back this afternoon? If he did, how is he going to find me? What shape is he going to find me in? Be alert. Peter tells you to do that, by the way. You read 1 Peter. 1 Peter tells you to be alert, for you do not know the hour your master cometh. And what Jesus said himself, Jesus said, if you knew a thief was coming into your house, you would be ready for him. I want to tell you something. The church needs to be alive and be alert. Not dead and asleep. Alive and alert. What happened? I'm going to finish nearly 12:15. We won't finish this today, but that's it. What happened with Saul? He fell asleep, didn't he? And David put his Rambo outfit on, got his handkerchief, put his Rambo on, he painted his fade black, and he went through and he cut a bit of David's skirt off. He could have actually slit his throat, but he didn't. He cut a bit of his skirt off, and then he shouted to Saul, and he showed Saul what he could have done to him. And he did it twice, though. Didn't he? Two occasions. So I'll never learn from the first one. I wonder, how alert are we this morning? I wonder if we're alert this morning. I wonder if we're alive this morning. I wonder if we're alert. I wonder if we realize that Jesus is coming and some of our practices need to go and go pretty quickly. Because if Jesus comes back in, there ain't no second chance. You're going to be gone in minutes. Well, not minutes even. You're going to be gone before you can wink an eye. I want to tell you, we're not to live in fear. That's not what God is saying. But God is just saying, be alert. You know, be alert with your relationships. You know, be alert. How's your relationships? Be alert. Nobody probably goes out to have an affair, but you go through stages of process. You should be alert of them. There are danger signals along the way. Be alert. That's all I'm trying to say. Be alert. Don't go to sleep. Titus 2:13 says, you see, anyone can be ready for a fixed hour, but you must always be ready for an unexpected hour. You can all be ready for an unexpected hour, but be... Titus 2:13. You see, anyone can be made ready for a fixed hour, but you must always be ready for an unexpected hour. And so that's what God has to say to this church. And there are a few things. It's 12:15, so we're not going to go into the conclusion. I wanted to go into this case. Someone gets frightened that they have to say it. God's going to take their name out of the book of life. But I haven't got time to dwell on that. I think if you're saved, you're saved. I would like to explain what this means, but I haven't got time. It's 12:15. But I want you to know that. Listen, if you're ever frightened and worried about your name, listen. If you are born again Christian and you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to worry about that. Do you know that? Do you know the people who only have to be worried about this? The people who are doing stuff wrong. If you're walking with the Lord, there's no problem and worry here, is there? If you're being alert and you're alive, you don't need to worry about this stuff. It's only, of course, when we're not living a life or when we're living a lie. Then we get worried, don't we? But I haven't got time to explain all it means. But a lot of people do get worried their name is going to be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will never, never enter heaven. Friends, it's a certainty. Your name's not in the Book of Life. But there are things that we need to learn about this book of life, and I'm not going to go into it now. So, your name will be in the book of life. He will confess your name before his Father and his angels. I'm excited about that. Jesus will shout your name out. Come, Maisie. Here is my Father. Angels, here is Maisie. Like an X Factor. But you won't have to phone up and vote for her. She's already there. Wouldn't you be excited, though, for God to confess your name? Come on. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, confessing your name. I'd be excited. Wow. In fact, I'm going to change my name to Edward Victor John Sarah Joseph, so it's a big name, so it takes a long time for him to come out with it. And thirdly, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Friends, Jesus is saying, listen to my seven spirits. Listen to them and be alert. Where do we stand as a church? Are we dead, living alive? I don't know where you stand this morning. I know this. Jesus Christ says this morning you can get your life put right with me right now. God says if you've been living a lie, you can start living the truth. God says if you're dead, you can be alive. God says if you're not being alert, you can be alert. God says it just takes one thing to say, I am sorry. Please forgive me and renew my life with you today. Not difficult, is it? God's waiting for you to say it this morning, if that's what you believe you need to say.